helmsman pushed off with a long stick. The oarsman on the left side turned the boat, and when it had reached open water, helmsman gestured with both hands for them to row. Tim sat in the back and opened the food hamper. He ate a little because his belly was still hungry, but only a little because the rest of him now wasn't. When he offered to pass the basket around, the oarsmen grinned their thanks but declined. The water was smooth, the steady rhythm of the oars lulling, and Tim's eyes soon closed. He dreamed that his mother was shaking him, telling him it was morning, that if he stayed slug abed, he'd be too late to help his da saddle the mollies. "Is he alive, then?" Tim asked, and the question was so absurd that Nell laughed. He was shaken awake. That much did happen, but not by his mother. It was helmsman who was bending over him when he opened his eyes, the man smelling so powerfully of sweat and decaying vegetable matter that Tim had to stifle a sneeze. Nor was it morning. Quite the opposite. The sun had crossed the sky and shone redly through stands of strange, gnarled trees that grew right up out of the water. Those trees Tim could not have named, but he knew the ones growing on the slope beyond the place where the swamp boat had come to ground. They were ironwoods and real giants. Deep drifts of orange and gold flowers grew around their bases. Tim thought his mother would swoon at their beauty, then remembered she would no longer be able to see them. They had come to the end of the Fagonard. Ahead were the true forest deeps. Helmsman helped Tim over the side of the boat, and two of the oarsmen handed out the basket of food and the waterskin. When his gunner was at Tim's feet, this time on ground that didn't ooze or quake, helmsman motioned for Tim to open the widow's cotton sack. When Tim did, helmsman made a beeping sound that brought an appreciative chuckle from his crew. Tim took out the leather case that held the metal disc and tried to hand it over. Helmsman shook his head and pointed at Tim. The meaning was clear enough. Tim pulled the tab that opened the seam and took out the device. It was surprisingly heavy for something so thin and eerily smooth. "Mustn't drop it," he told himself. "I'll come back this way and return it, as I'd return any borrowed dish or tool back in the village. Which is to say, as it was when it was given to me. If I do that, I'll find them alive and well." They were watching to see if he remembered how to use it. Tim pushed the button that brought up the short stick, then the one that made the beep and the red light. There was no laughter or hooting this time. Now it was serious business, perhaps even a matter of life and death. Tim began to turn slowly, and when he was facing a rising lane in the trees, what might have once been a path, the red light changed to green, and there was a second beep. "Still north," Tim said. "It shows the way even after sundown, does it? And if the trees are too thick to see Old Star and Old Mother?" Helmsman nodded, patted Tim on the shoulder, then bent and kissed him swiftly and gently on the cheek. He stepped back, looking alarmed at his own temerity. "It's all right," Tim said. "It's fine." Helmsman dropped to one knee. The others had gotten out of the boat, and they did the same. They fisted their foreheads and cried, "Heil!" Tim felt more tears rise and fought them back. He said, "Rise, bondsman, if that's what you think you are. Rise in love and thanks." They rose and scrambled back into their boat. Tim raised the metal disc with the writing on it. "I'll bring this back. Good as I found it, I will." Slowly, but still smiling, and that was somehow terrible, helmsman shook his head. He gave the boy a last fond and lingering look, then pulled the ramshackle boat away from solid ground and into the unsteady part of the world that was their home. Tim stood watching it make its slow and stately turn south. When the crew raised their dripping paddles in salute, he waved. He watched them go until the boat was nothing but a phantom waver on the belt of fire laid down by the setting sun. He dashed warm tears from his eyes and restrained, barely, an urge to call them back. When the boat was gone, he slung his gunna about his slender body, turned in the direction the device had indicated, and began to walk deeper into the forest.